speaker this evening is Scott.
Addict named Scott. And a very tired addict named Scott. And I'd like to thank the programming committee for asking me to come out and share on this topic. I'm really tired because I got about 3 hours sleep last night because I'm an addict. Because I'm down here at a convention. And I knew I had this topic and this meeting at a late time. And, you know, it was like, well, I'll take a nap tomorrow. And the nap never came, so I'm beat. So that's why I brought a little bit of literature, because I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth tonight, but, you know, I know if I can give you something from literature, at least there'll be a little bit of recovery out of here, you know. Yeah. Surrender. I guess probably everybody at this meeting is practicing surrender in one shape or form or another tonight. They're either surrendering to the fact that they asked somebody to dance with them and they got turned down, or they're surrendering to the fact that they couldn't afford the comedy show or the jazz show, or they're surrendering that they just don't want to leave. Before I really get started, I'd just like to dedicate what I'm going to share tonight to a member of my sponsorship family, Kevin A., who died on Monday, February 21st. Clean, he had a heart attack while playing tennis in Winchester, Virginia. And his license plate was Surrender. And, you know, his obituary, which I have here, and actually I think today would have been his 17th year anniversary, but in his obituary he was described as a person with rock-solid integrity. And to be an addict and be described as someone with rock-solid integrity is a blessing, you know. And so anyway, this is for Kevin. It talks about surrender in a lot in step 1 and step 11 of our basic text. And on page 22 it says, only after surrender are we able to overcome the alienation of addiction. Help for addicts begins only when we are able to admit complete defeat. This can be frightening, but it is the foundation on which we build our lives. So according to the basic text, surrender is the foundation of our lives in recovery. In the chapter We Do Recover, it says, recovery begins with surrender. Complete surrender is the key to recovery. In our experience, no addict who has completely surrendered to this program has ever failed to find recovery. And in the Just for Today Living the Program chapter, the basic text, it says, the principle of surrender guides us into a way of life in which we draw our strength from a power greater than ourselves. Our daily surrender to our higher power provides the help we need. So not only is surrender the key, it's the foundation of our program. It's the only, you know, help for addicts begins only when we surrender. No addict who has completely surrendered to this program has ever failed to find recovery. I mean, that's pretty, you know, has ever failed to find recovery. And it says that surrender leads us to a power greater than ourselves. The for me, I practice surrender a lot. I practice surrender a lot in addiction. When the DEA came in my house, I surrendered.
Thank you.
I self-surrendered to a federal prison. I got so high one time shooting cocaine that I was convinced the police were on the first floor of the house I was in, and I walked down the steps going, I surrender, I give up, and there was nobody there. I remember that clear as a bell. I was so convinced that I was sitting in a house full of policemen with their guns drawn. That I flushed a bunch of drugs down the toilet. And walked down with my hands raised saying, I give up, I surrender, don't shoot. And, you know, I probably would have felt better if there would have been cops in the house. You know what I mean? Because I was like, damn, what the hell? You know, let me run upstairs and maybe it hasn't gone off. Maybe it's still circling around in the bowl, you know. But it wasn't. So I got to the program in Narcotics Anonymous and was told just what it says in the basic text, that the only way to find recovery is to surrender. Surrender to my disease of addiction and surrender to the program in Narcotics Anonymous. To admit that I'm an addict, to own that I was an addict, and to understand that no matter what happens, no matter what comes down the pike, that I can't have any reservations, that if I have any reservation at all, I'm not practicing this principle of surrender. And unless I could rid myself of all reservations and know, without a doubt, that I can't use again, that I'd never be able to find recovery, I'd never be able to get this program. And a lot of that comes out when you write a first step. Admitting complete defeat. Seeing it on paper. Knowing that the lies I told myself were lies. And surrendering. Surrender to win. You know, what a concept. Surrendering to a power greater than myself. Surrendering to continue on with the steps in Narcotics Anonymous to get better in this process of recovery. Surrendering all the time. You know, when they asked me to do this workshop a few months ago, I was, they called me up at my home in Bowie with my wife and my stepson and my dog and two cats and two newts and all that stuff and the fenced-in yard. And the two cars and all of that. And they said, you know, can you come down to Ocean City and do a workshop on surrender? And I said, you know, I'd be honored to, sure. And I think it was maybe 2 weeks after that that my wife said, I want a separation. And so I'm no longer living in that house in Bowie with the wife and the stepson and the dog and the two cats and the two newts. I'm surrendered. And I've been practicing and learning an entire deeper form of surrender. In my life, you know, and So that's what I'm going to share, man. Because really, you know, no matter what happens, if you've surrendered to the program of Narcotics Anonymous, if you've surrendered in step one, no matter what happens, you never have to use over. And that's the message, that no matter what happens, you don't have to use behind. And, you know, I've had to surrender to rage. I've had to surrender to anger. I've had to surrender to disillusionment. I've had to surrender to failure. I've had to surrender to a lot of forms of this disease that want to get at me. Because I have to surrender to the situation of, you know, the fact of the matter is that a couple of weeks ago my wife said that I don't think I love you anymore and I don't think I want to spend the rest of my life with you. And I got to surrender to that. Because there's nothing I can do to change the way that she feels about me. You know? And the process of surrender to these new circumstances in my life have not been very easy. My first thought was that I was going to go stick a needle in my arm, knock on the door, and say, "Look what you made me do." Because I've done that in the past with other relationships. So I know I'm capable of doing that at the drop of a hat. And like I say, that was my first thought. You know, but fortunately, I've got a sponsor. Fortunately, I've got a network. And I can, you know, call people before I make decisions because, you know, any decision I make seems like a great idea to me. You know, and the fact of the matter is that after I talk to somebody and they explain to me the foolishness of this decision, only then do I see that it's, you know, a crazy decision because I'm an addict with a real sick mind that has a lot of sick thoughts. So I was like, okay, well, I won't stick a needle in my arm. I'll just drive my car through the front door of the house. And, you know, that sounds like a good decision. And that didn't seem to be a smart one either, since my name's on the mortgage, too. You know, so really what happened was that I had to surrender to the facts. Surrender to the reality of what's going on in my life. And that acting out in like anger and rage and whatever is no form of surrender. Oh, I'm trying, you know, that's absolutely no form of surrender. Oh, I'm fighting the surrender. You know, and nothing good's going to come of that. So I didn't drive my car through the house. I didn't kill anybody. Because that thought was there too. And, you know, what I've done is I've gone to my home group and I've cried. I've gone to other meetings in the area and out of the area I'm in because my wife's also in recovery. You know what I mean? And I'm not trying to, like, drag her through the muck. I mean, this is just, it's a situation that's like, that a lot of people face. You know? And it's just a situation that isn't working out. And I've just got to surrender to the fact that my wife told me I don't love you. And accept that, as hard as that is. And work through it without using. And without trying to damage myself or others. With a little bit of grace and dignity if I can. I've been acting out in other areas to make me feel okay about myself, to make me feel okay about the situation, because, you know, I can't, man, just surrender this. It's really where it's at. You know what I mean? I can't just be okay with that. You know? And I'm getting better with that. But in the meantime, as I've walked through this path, I've done some stuff to myself that's not real healthy. You know? Got a couple new tattoos. That's all right. Went to the tattoo parlor. Went to a massage parlor. Been hanging out at some parlors lately, you know what I mean? Been surrendering my money at those places, what I've been doing. You know, I thought when I was working the surrender steps that I'd gotten in touch with surrender, but more will be revealed, and a whole deeper level of this stuff is coming up, is really what's happening, you know. And, you know, when I pray about it, and when I talk about it, and when I do some positive action on it, what's happening is I'm getting to a whole deeper level of understanding and working these steps to get in touch with the true measure of surrender. You know, which is I give up. I'm not going to do anything more. I give up. God, help me. I give up. You know? But for this addict still, man, God's not the first person I call on when I'm in pain. God gets called eventually. But the first thing that happens is, what can I do to make myself feel better about myself? And everything that I do to make me feel better about myself, it only lasts for a second. And when all that's exhausted, and I want to feel better about myself, feel better about the situation for a little longer than a second, that's when I start praying. you know, and ask God for some help. And, you know, I know where I get my help. I know that's going to be the only lasting help I'll get, and yet it's still the last door I open. What I'm trying to do is make that door the first door I open. And when that happens, I think I'll truly be surrendered. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. Our next speaker, speaking on surrender, is Jewel.
Oh, praise God, group. My name is Jewel, and I'm an addict.
Thank you.
Wow, my story is almost like yours. You know, but what I want to share with you tonight is about a message on a second surrender and recovery. You know, the first surrender was to my disease of addiction, you know. And when I was first introduced to this program in 1986, I thought that I had surrendered to the disease of addiction. But it took me 3 more years before I actually, you know, surrendered to my disease and was through, you know, whipped, beaten, you know. And from that day on, one day at a time, I've stayed here, you know, by the grace of God. In 89, when God finally let me go through all that I needed to go through, do all the things that I needed to do to get here today, you know, he found me, you know, he showed me back to the road of treatment. When I went into treatment, that time I went in to get some help, to learn how to stay clean one day at a time. I stayed there 30 days. You know, a lot of us, we go into treatment, we end up, you know, getting boyfriends that's in our group, or we end up, you know, tricking into rehabs and all this stuff, right? You know, I didn't do that because I was there for help. But after I came out, you know, it was a different story. Because my past and my track record, you know, has shown me that, you know, I am a woman with abandonment issues, you know, a woman who has always felt that I needed a man in my life to make me feel whole. You know, and I thought about it earlier today. I remember sharing that in a meeting early on in recovery, that I needed a man in my life to make me whole. I remember that just as clear. The message that I am about to share will show you how I have surrendered today and what it took for me to surrender today. The pain that I had to endure, you know, clean in order to surrender. having 9.5 years in recovery and losing everything. That meant husband, family, home, myself, which I had already lost but didn't know it. You know, after coming out, you know, the rehab, I started to date my counselor, okay? Real sick woman, didn't know it, did not know how sick I was really inside, on the inside, you know. Really was not aware of the unhealthy, unhealed issues that were going on the inside of me. You know, so of course, that's when I chose. You know, we are attracted to who we are. I married in this fellowship to another recovering addict. I thank God for him today. God used him to get me to where God has me in him today. I didn't know that a couple of years ago. I didn't know that there's a blessing in the storm. I didn't know that my blessings was coming, and I didn't realize that I had to go through that process to get to where I am today, as painful as it was. When I got married, which was something that I had always wanted to do, I wanted a husband, I wanted some children, I wanted a home, you know, some nice cars, you know, the picket fence and all that. Okay, God allowed me to have those things. But little did I know that I was not prepared for them. I was not prepared for those blessings. You know, because an addict coming straight out of treatment, jumping into a relationship and getting married, 2 years clean, I hadn't worked on nothing. I had not worked on anything. My only focus was that man. You know, I equated sex for love. I thought I was in love. You know, I didn't realize that all the unhealed issues that were going on inside of me, I would bring into my marriage. Things that would destroy my marriage, my husband, my children. You know, everything that we had, you know, acquired, you know. In my relationship with my estranged husband, I was a very verbally abusive woman. Not blaming anyone, but this was learned behavior. That mouth, not knowing that there was life and death in the tongue. I didn't know that I was killing my marriage. I didn't know that I was killing my family. You know, and also because I didn't feel good about me. And then see the program, yeah, I went to meetings, you know, I went to step meetings. You know, I had a sponsor and I talked to her. But for real, the program, that was put aside. Because see, once I got the husband, once I got the kids, and once I got the cars and the house, hey, there was no room for the program. There was no balance in my life for the program and all the blessings that came with it. I thought that my family and my husband and my home and my job was more important than working the program of Narcotics Anonymous. Not really realizing that if I didn't work the program of Narcotics Anonymous, none of that was going to last anyway. You know, because those defects were going to continue to be there and they were going to come out and destroy my marriage and my home and my family. My children, you know, emotionally, mentally. July of 98, July 31st, 98, my husband decided that he needed to leave. Okay? I didn't realize then that he was doing what he felt he needed to do for himself. You know, I had to forgive that man and realize that the expectations that I had on him, he was unable to perform. The majority of them, he wasn't even created to give them to me. He wasn't even created for that. You know, things the things that I could only get from God. You know, I was looking for another human being to give me. And when I didn't get him, I acted out. I talked big trash. Verbally abused my husband. Character assassinated him. When he left, I went insane. I was one step from this same asylum. And it's only because I was emotionally dependent on this human being. He was my God. The God above had no room, no place at all in my life, in my family, in my marriage, in my home, on my job, nowhere. He had no place. I didn't need him. For what? I had everything I wanted. I didn't need God. You know, he was glad. As a matter of fact, I mean, he was thought of every now and then when I'd be laying up there in that bed in a lot of pain, depressed, and didn't even know it. And he was speaking to my spirit, this is not going to work. And I put it on mute. He would say to me, this is not going to work. And I didn't want to hear that. You know, but I heard it. And finally it came to pass. During the insanity, would y'all like to know some of the things I did? I really don't want to tell you. I continued to be verbally abusive. I would call and leave all kind of messages on my husband's pager, call his job, go on his job, sit in front of his house. When he didn't even know that I knew where he lived, waiting for him to come out. Because I wanted to see who else was up in there. You know, I wasn't going to do nothing. I just wanted to see. Somebody said, yeah, right. You don't know what you may do. You're crazy. And I was. I was crazy. You know, and like Scott said, there was no surrender nowhere in that type of behavior. You know, I cried for almost 2 years. Literally cried. But that's okay because that was the process of healing. I remember laying in my bed in my home before I had to leave it, depressed, severely depressed, couldn't get out of the bed. Couldn't go to work, couldn't talk on the phone, couldn't take care of my kids. She'll be 14 in June, but my 13-year-old had to literally take care of my 7-year-old when she was 5 then. She was 5 years old. She had to feed her, bathe her, clothe her, because I was unable to get out of the bed. All I could do was sleep and cry, sleep and cry. I didn't want to use. I didn't want to go to the crack house, y'all. Because for me, I might as well just shoot myself in the head if I had to live like that again today, one day at a time. I didn't want to use. You know, thank God. I wanted to die. I wanted to die. I did not want to feel that pain. And that was some hell of a pain. I didn't feel that pain in the street. But God said, no, I have more for you. You know, it's just like a pot of clay. you know, that he molds. And he had molded me right, and it broke. And I had no power to pick myself up to mold me back together. So because he loved me, and because he saw the blessing in that storm for me, and because he chose me, I remember a lot of people saying, you would have never found God if your husband hadn't left. God ain't went nowhere. God ain't gone nowhere. You know, God chose me to work with me. He chooses you when it could have been the other way around, and I thank him. And in that choosing, he picked me up and molded me back together. He's molded me back together. He said, no, I have more for you. I have more for you. I have something for you to do. You know, you have a purpose. I have a purpose for you today. In me. In me. And it took my sister-in-law, and I thank God for her today. And she came and she got me. And she took me to a place that I was familiar with but wasn't active in. And it's funny. It was a place of worship, right? And 95% of the people there are one of us. Even the pastor. And let me show you how good God is. He knew I was an addict, right? And he knew I was still going to need help and need you all's help. The place where I went to learn about the basic instructions before leaving Earth, they were taught to me. The steps were taught to me through that word. I got my steps through that word. You know, thank you, Lord. You know, he put me right where I needed to be. For a good 2.5 years, that's what I did. I didn't go to a lot of meetings. I went to some, and I didn't talk to a lot of people in recovery. What he did, he sent some women, some godly women, some spirit-led women into my life to help me. I call them my angels, into my life to help me. Because this girl was a sick girl. I was broken. I was broken, y'all. I'm telling you, I was broke. I was a broken woman. Broken. And he was the only one that could put me back together. And these women helped me. And they cried with me and they held me. You know, they were there for me. My friends, you know, Cheryl, Leon Harris, they were there for me. Even when they didn't want to be, even when they got tired of me whining and crying about this marriage and this man, they were there anyway. You know, I had to end up going to see a therapist, a psychiatrist, ended up on depression medication, which I'm here to say I don't take no more today. Thank you, Lord. You know, I don't know if anyone here has ever experienced stress-related illness. But anyway, it'll be 2 years in August. I end up in the hospital. Went in there for one thing. End up having to have 2 surgeries 10 days apart. The second surgery, I didn't even know it was something that I could die from. I was a sick woman. And it was stress-related. Stress-related. Trying to kill Jewel one more time. You know, the 3 weeks that I was in that hospital, you know, I was like, Lord, you know, why won't you let me go home? You know, and I couldn't understand why God was allowing this to happen to me and how come he wouldn't let me go home. I was like, Lord, I just want to go home. Hug my children one more time because I was scared. I thought I wasn't going to come home. That's how sick I was. You know, and I said, Lord, if you let me come home, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. And I meant that. You know how, you know, you get clean and you really don't know when the obsession has left you to use. It just, all of a sudden one day you know it's gone. When I came home, and I don't know when it was, but I realized that God had healed me from depression. That God had taken me off the emotional roller coaster that I was on with my marriage. And then he finally let me see that that's why he had to shut me down in order for him to do his work on me. Because I was moving too fast and too good and crazy, he had to shut me down. And that's what he did, literally, shut me down. The day that I came home from the hospital, I haven't had a depression medication since. I'm not depressed today. Probably for about this past 6 months, God started to put back in my spirit the urge to go back to meetings, to get another sponsor, to become active in this program again. You know, maybe he saw something that I didn't see, you know, and I don't question it. I was just obedient. I sat still for 18 months, meeting without a man. That ain't Jewel, I'm telling you. I always had somebody. Always had a man in my life. But I thank God for the 18 months, because in that 18 months, I grew. I started to grow up. I started to find out who Jewel was, who Jewel is, what Jewel likes, what she doesn't like, how her behavior affects her and other people, how it destroys other people and myself. After that 18 months, and these were two separate times, one was for 11 and one was for 9 months. They were two separate times. And the time that I didn't sit still, they were with my husband trying to work this marriage out. But today, it ain't to be. Okay? I took a trip. And I took that trip to treat myself to the surrender that my marriage was over. I finally got it. You know, it finally clicked. Jewel, it's over. And guess what? It's okay. You know, after that 18 months, I cannot sit here and say that I did not satisfy the flesh. And I know today that I am not ready for a committed relationship. I'm not trying to fall in love. I'm not trying to marry nobody else. I don't want nobody up under me all the time. I'm not trying to cook for nobody every day. I'm not trying to wash nobody else's clothes. I'm not trying to compromise today. I'm not trying to spend all my days and nights trying to figure out what's wrong with you and what I can do to help or what I can do to fix it. No, thank you. I need a break. I need a break, because that's what I did. So what I did, I sought out somebody who wasn't trying to do none of that either. Okay? I'll be honest. Okay? I sought out somebody who would satisfy the flesh, period. Okay? Period. Okay? And that goes against who I'm becoming today. It goes against the will of God and His will for me and my life. You know, He'll take care of that too. That has to reach the bottom also. You know, there was someone that sent me an email, and I would like to read it. You know, they say here how we have a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. But my spiritual awakening came from pain, okay? And today I don't live life on life's terms. You know, I'm learning to live life on God's terms today. You know, and I also had to get in touch with, I never really loved my husband. You know what I loved? The image of him. The image of him. And this is only, I've never shared this with me. This is only the second time I've shared this. The image of him. Because he was the counselor. He was popular in the fellowship. You know, well known. You know, and I was his woman. That made me feel good about Jewel. You know, and I got that revelation not in this fellowship, at another place where I fellowship. I never really loved that man. I never really loved him. And today God is teaching me what real love is. And we wasn't even close. We weren't even close. So what happened in the marriage was the only thing that could happen. We weren't even close. I felt better. I surrendered to it. And it's funny, I still haven't seen that, but I've seen him, and guess what? I felt nothing. And I was reading something by this lady about Juanita Bynum, and she said, you'll know when you're healed, when you can walk into the store and see that person and say hi and feel nothing and keep going. Whoa, I experienced that today. I felt nothing. And not, and I'm not saying that in a negative aspect. They're just letting me know that God is healing this girl. You know, God is healing me. Yes, he is. You know, I know today that I want to live life. For so many years, in and out of recovery, life lived me. I want to live life today. You know, I feel that I'm qualified to wear this dress. I ain't no dressed up garbage can today. I ain't even really know what they meant, you know, for real. You know, for real, for real. The understanding of it for real. You know, all I know is I thank God for this program. I thank God for you people. I thank God for God. And I thank him for choosing me. I want to read this email. This is for the ladies. Fellas, y'all just have to forgive me. And what it says is, it's a strong woman versus a woman of strength. A strong woman works out every day to keep her body in shape. But a woman of strength kneels in prayer to keep her soul in shape. A strong woman isn't afraid of anything. But a woman of strength shows courage in the midst of her fear. A strong woman won't let anyone get the best of her, but a woman of strength gives the best of her to everyone. A strong woman makes mistakes and avoids the same in the future, but a woman of strength realizes life's mistakes can also be God's blessings and capitalizes on them. A strong woman walks sure-footedly, but a woman of strength knows God will catch her when she falls. A strong woman wears the look of confidence on her face, but a woman of strength wears grace. A strong woman has faith that she is strong enough for the journey, but a woman of strength has faith that it is in the journey that she will become strong. And that's where I am today, and that's who I will become. This is who I am becoming, and I will become her, you know, a woman of strength, you know, and God has given me the power to do that, to become that. As long as I keep him first, as long as I never forget that he is my source, not the man, not the job, not the house, not the children, not the husband. As long as, and I've been in two meetings today where they said anything and anybody that you put before God, He will remove them. You don't believe it? Just keep coming back if you're there. He will remove them. So today, he is my husband. He is my friend. He is my lover. He's my comforter, my confidant. He is my everything. And he has shown me that, yeah, I want a man, but I don't need a man. You know, the flesh wants one, you know. And as long as I continue to work on this inside so that I can be just as beautiful on the inside as I am on the outside, when he do send me that next husband, he's going to be a blessed man. He's going to be a blessed man because God is so good. And it's about his way, you know. It's about his rules, his way of life. You know, he's going to be one blessed man, you know, and I'll be a blessed woman because I want to be a blessing to myself, to my children, and to anyone else that comes into my life today. You know, it's funny. I also realized that there's still a part of me that's attracted to unhealthy men, right? And the other part is attracted to healthy men. I met this guy, right? I want to share this to you because this is so funny. I just laugh. And he goes to another place where I go to worship, right? And he really likes me, right? He really does. He is such a good guy, and he loves my kids. And I won't give him the time of day. So anyway, he's also one of us, but he did not come through this program. God chose him to take him straight to him. Okay? Some of us can do that. Okay? And I was just trying to explain to him a little bit about the program and why I needed to go back to meetings and da-da-da and why him and I can't, you know, date and get together right now. I just can't do that, right? And I was telling him how I needed to heal and, you know, and I do. My children, I have a lot of healing to do. You know, because if I don't heal, the next man that I choose, he going to catch it. He going to get all of this. And it's funny, the guy just don't know I'm saving him. He just don't know. I'm saving him and he don't know it. And he was telling me, well, Jewel, well, what did that man do to you that's taking you so long to heal? It's been a year, you know. And what is it that all this that you got to heal from? You know, because he want what he want when he want it, right? And I'm trying to tell him, you know, it's not time. In God's time. You have to let God get me where you want me. You know, and he talks about how he prays to God on me and I'm going to be his next wife. And maybe so. But I know that today that's not to be number one. I'm still a married woman. You know, and it was just so funny. When I got off the phone, I said, man, you just don't know I'm saving you. You just don't know. You know, but anyway, I feel good about my journey today. I feel good about myself today. I still have some fears. I still have some insecurities. But when they come up, I know what to do to relieve them. I know who to go to. That reminds me that all of that is not of him. And that force that should be trying to take me out, that he's a liar. You know, and I just really look forward to this journey of becoming a strong, godly, spirit-led woman. You know, and the women that he's put in my life, I see the results of their life. You know, and they came from where we came from. And I see the results. And everything that I have lost in this fellowship, God says I can have them again. But when he give them to me, when he gives them to me, then no one can take it away. No one can take it away when he gives it to me. You know, they won't disappear. You know, they won't leave. You know, so all I can say is, you know, I'm going to keep coming back. I'm going to continue to work on the inside of Jewel. I'm going to continue to learn how to love Jewel first. so that I can love another human being healthy. See, I know unhealthy love. I want to learn how to love healthy, you know, and pray for me, for the ones who love me, for the ones who don't love me, pray for me anyway, and my children, you know, pray for our healing, our restoration, you know, because we will be okay. We are going to be okay. We will make it, you know, and thanks for letting me share.
We have about 5 more minutes if anyone else would like to share. There it is.
I'm an addict. My name is Dennis L. Surrender. I really got a lot of both of you guys sharing it. Surrender to me is, it's kind of funny. It's a one-word topic, just a spiritual principle, right, that embodies some things that I have to give up, some things that I really adore, some things that I really love in order for me to recover. In the basic text of Narcotics Anonymous, right, it says that we are people with fractured personalities, right? The word fractured meaning more than one. Personality is just another word for persona. So for me, when I come in here, right, I am a whole bunch of different people. And I don't know which one really needs to surrender, right? Because I'm just one person in this relationship. I'm this person in another relationship. I'm this person on the job. So I'm kind of confused. I don't know who needs to surrender. So because I don't know who needs to surrender, I find myself from time to time being caught up into something that doesn't make me feel good, right? I'll be caught up into this thing, right? And because I don't feel good, right, because I don't know who needs to surrender, right, my spirit is twisted. A word we say around the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I'm caught up in the grips, right? And the ends are always the same, jails, institutions, and death. The first step in the basic text of Narcotics Anonymous says this here. Upon completion of this step, we affirm our surrender to the principles of Narcotics Anonymous. That is the solution to my problem. What I'm dealing with right now, where I am today, I'm dealing with this in the realm of a relationship. I'm beginning to surrender, and it ain't got nothing to do with her. I'm surrendering to the simple concept that the spiritual principles in NA I have to get in touch with. Because my principles ain't working. My principles are making me do some crazy things. And they got a category for it. They call it temporary insanity. I've been obsessed with this woman. I've been compulsively acting out down in Ocean City, calling back. You're back home. You know, once we get started, we just can't stop. And because I'm so totally self-centered, I want what I want when I want it, and I got dog, I want it right now. You better answer this phone. Because if you don't, when I get home, I'm going to, do you know? I'm going to go to jail. I'm going to hurt somebody. I'm gonna tell the truth. They said tell the truth. Keep it honest. So when I think of surrender, right, I need to play the whole tape out. I ain't surrendered to another human being, a drug substance, or none of that, those things there. They sound real good. I need to surrender to the spiritual principles in NA in order for me to recover. Because if I don't surrender to the spiritual part of what I'm talking about, I'm gonna be caught up all over again. And I'm talking about in that grip. You know when you just sit alone in the bedroom, Jewel.
Yeah,
you and your husband left, right, and you was just, where he at? What's she doing? Who she with? Why she don't call me? Oh, help me. And don't want to call your sponsor. Forget your sponsees. Oh, y'all can't help me now. Because by then, right, my spirit is so low. My low self-esteem is kicked in, right? And I start dealing with these character defects, right? Like here's one here. She said it, abandonment issues. Or rejection issues, right? And I'm down here to the ground, man. I'll be in that depressed state of mind, right? Well, I start feeling hopeless and useless all over again. I'm talking about 9 years clean in the program. I'm talking about I'm suffering from a spiritual illness, man. I'm about to commit suicide. I'm about to die spiritually, man. Because I don't know, I don't understand the concept of what surrender is. The program tells me I need to understand the spiritual principles embodied in the 12 steps in order for me to get help. In order for me to learn how to start living life on life terms, opposed to surviving on life terms, I need to understand the principles in here. I need to understand what it means when we say we need to surrender. Because I don't want to die, man. I don't want to die emotionally. I don't want to die mentally. I don't want to die on the inside. Because we do. We down inside sometimes. Look around. Say that. What's wrong with him? He must be messed up. His spirit done died. I don't want to be walking around here dead, Jack. Man, I have enjoyed this convention here. This is attic heaven for me. I have. I've been doing service work all weekend. I'm on the program committee, right, and I am just overwhelmed. I came to this meeting tonight because this is the only meeting I ever made since I've been here. I've been working, running here, running there, and I just want to share that, you know, because I don't want to leave this convention this weekend and go home and die on the inside. I want to surrender. Thanks for letting me share.
One minute. All right, do we close in the usual way? Or we? All right. No? Thank you.
All right.